Welcome to Nailing It, a podcast which is dedicated to sharing inspiring success stories as well as valuable business advice for small business owners, aspiring entrepreneurs, and anyone who just wants to nail it in life. Today's episode is all about SEO, but what is SEO? What does it mean? And why is it important for your business? We're talking to an expert in SEO, and we're finding the top three things that every business can do right now to nail their SEO strategy. So you know what this podcast is all about? It's all about chatting to people who literally nail it every single day. That might be in business or another thing that they do in their life to prove that they have nailed it. We're talking to someone in business today, and this is someone that I met about 2 years ago. Someone who's really young, but has got a turnover with his business already, 1.2 million a year. He's made headlines lately as well. I set up my seven-figure business from my parents' box room. We're talking SEO today. So if you don't know what that is and why it's important to your business, then stay where you are. Stay listening. I'll give you information on that in just a little bit with Liam. Liam Quirk from Quirky Digital. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Jay.
Tell us about you, mate. What made you want to get into SEO marketing, digital marketing, computers? Let's go back. Before we explain what SEO is and why it's important, let's hear your story. Where did it start?
Yeah, no worries. So right from the beginning, I grew up very work-class background. So stepdad was a roofer, mum was a carer, my dad would sell anything he could get his hands on. And, you know, that was me. That was my upbringing. And I always had that in my head that, you know, I wanted to, you know, make something of myself. I wanted to be the person that, you know, did things for my family. And I obviously remember, you know, from a very early age, getting that first computer. Everyone in the house used that computer. And, you know, of an evening, I might get like an hour to spend on it. And that hour was spent sometimes doing things I shouldn't have been doing. So I was trying to, you know, download things onto the computer that would make it better. I would, you know, I'd be messing about making websites. I'd be downloading free stuff that I'd actually end up eventually having to fix, you know, further along the line. So I was from that mindset where, you know, I was constantly doing things myself. You know, in school, it was always as being told to do things a certain way. Whereas when I got home on my computer, I could do things my own way, whether I was doing it the right way or the wrong way. I always found a way of doing things.
So computing, you knew that was potentially your biggest interest in life. Did you know then you were going to turn it into a business? As where you are today, would you have any idea that you were going to be turning over 1.2 million quid working within computing and SEO as it is now?
Yeah, that was it for me. It was either computers or be a footballer.
Yeah.
Soon learned it was computers. So yeah, it was obviously at that stage, I didn't have a clue. I knew that, you know, I enjoyed doing my own thing, but you know, you sometimes hear stories about people saying, you know, they were selling sweets in school. That wasn't really me. I just liked going home, liked working on my computer. And then it got to, you know, I got to an age where I started to see people around me, seeing my uncle who had an influence on me, where he was making a lot of money online. And I knew that you can make a lot of money online. You can make a lot of money without necessarily going down the university route. And that was the thing for me, because I didn't really like being in school. It was, you know, you'd see people go on and be doctors, lawyers, accountants, and it was like, that's not really for me. I want to make the money that they're making, but I want to, you know, work out my own way of doing it. And as I said, seeing people around me that were doing it, started to get tips, started to get advice from them. And you know, it probably was around, you know, when I was finishing high school, probably just before I'd done my GCSEs, I thought, this isn't for me. And you could probably tell if you looked at my GCSE results, I knew it wasn't for me. And, you know, didn't do any revision, none of that type of stuff. It was pretty much, I'm going down this route.
And did you know, was that route towards making money, or was that route towards just working in what you enjoyed on computers? Or did you think, no, I'm going to make a million quid out of this, I'm going to do well out of it? How did that come about?
I knew at that age I wanted to, you know, make money.
Yeah.
You know, I'd seen people, as I said, my uncle was a good influence. I'd seen other people around me that were, you know, making money. And I definitely knew at that age I wanted to, you know, be driving around in nice cars.
which he is, trust me. We're going to talk more about the business in a little bit and how you got to the point you're at now. You're just 26 years old, based on Merseyside, 50 clients all over the world, 13 staff. We'll talk more about your journey, your biggest challenges in just a bit. We'll get some great advice for anyone thinking of just getting into business in general. But the big thing we want to talk about is SEO, the power of SEO, digital marketing. So we use Liam, for anyone that doesn't know, we use him for the Guide Liverpool, which is a kind of what's on guide for the city of Liverpool. And Liam joined us about 12 months ago to help with the SEO. And it was a time where I just didn't have a clue. I didn't know what it stood for, SEO. Yeah. I'll be dead honest. The work that you've done since, the things you've taught us, because for someone like me, there's just so much in the digital world that you don't understand because it's ever changing. There's so many elements to whether it's social media strategy, whether it's, I don't know, stuff like Google, how Google works in terms of the pay-per-click stuff you can see, the Google ads we have on the web. It's just so vast and very confusing for me as well. When we come to you and you've done the SEO, you explain things so well. And for me as a novice at the time, I felt like I understood it. So I want you to do that now, if you can, as though you're talking to a new client who doesn't quite get it. Just tell us, tell anyone listening, what is SEO, why it's important.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. As I said, I put a big emphasis on trying to talk straight because it is, you know, in some people's eyes, it is a bit of a dark art. So SEO stands for search engine optimization. So it's the process of whether you're providing products, whether you're providing services, whether you're providing like the guide, the platform for people. It's the process of when people are searching them specific terms on Google, it's making sure that the website that you're working on is showing up the top, so it's attracting the clicks, it's attracting the attention. If you're providing services, that's going to generate leads for you. If you're providing products, it's going to generate sales for you as well. So it's that actual process. To break it down a little bit more, there's three main areas that people look at. So there's the content writing, so it's the actual content that you have on your website that you can physically read.
So this might be like a blog post, or it might be some info about a certain thing. It's the written content on your site.
Yeah. As an example, you know, I'm sitting on a black table at the minute. Someone might type in on Google black table, and right away that's a search with intent. Then it might be best black tables, so it's someone who's looking to want to compare different black tables. Then it might be how to make my office look better. So there's different levels of, you know, intent when people are searching for certain things on Google. So that's obviously probably the main part of that's what people can see. Then you've got the technical side of SEO, which is it's the background, it's the code, it's how Google crawls the website, it's how Google understands what's on the page. It's making sure that when you load the website, it loads quickly, everything, you know, loads in you know, the right format as well. I mean, I could sit here for hours and hours talking about technical SEO, but that's, you know, as straightforward as I can put it.
So why is it so important? Tell us that. Why is SEO such? Because for me now, after working with you for 12 months, it's kind of number one that you've got to get right. If you want a successful website, that SEO has got to be bang on, hasn't it? Why? Tell us why.
Yeah, so as you said, I think, you know, from my point of view, most businesses do need SEO. That's the key thing. But I don't think every business needs SEO. So there are industries out there who, you know, it might be a fast moving industry. It might be something to do with, you know, grants which are coming out, solar grants. It might be things that are happening over a short period of time where Google Ads might, you know, work well for it. But if you're actually trying to build a sustainable business which is gonna last, you know, for years and years, SEO is something which is going to make sure that when people are searching for your products and services, you're constantly going to show up, whether you're investing in ads or not. That's the important thing. I think what happens, like during COVID, is a good example. So, because everyone went, like pretty much every business needed to go online, what happened was Google AdWords prices went through the roof. Every business wanted instant sales coming in, instant leads coming in. And it meant that everyone was like bidding on these keywords, and the price of keywords on Google Ads obviously skyrocketed. Whereas the businesses who had invested in SEO prior to that, they, you know, they didn't have these big bills for ads. They essentially were, you know, already showing up in the search results, albeit below the sponsored ads. But it was, you know, it's a real organic way of, you know, getting people to your website.
So not every business needs SEO then? Because I would have thought every business, if you're online, you've got a presence, you've got a website, you want people to find you on Google, you do need to work on SEO.
So I'd say that every business should, you know, consider SEO, but the, you know, the companies which come to us and, you know, our website probably generates, you know, 30 to 40 leads for us on a monthly basis. Out of them, I'd probably say 20% of them actually need SEO. Some people will come to us and they might want to rank for keywords that no one's actually searching for yet. So I used the example before of, like, you know, grants. It might be a government scheme which is coming out. If we've got no data on people actually searching for that, it's probably not a good reason to actually, you know, go after certain keywords without actually testing the water with running ads first to see whether, you know, it's actually worth, you know, investing in, whether it's worth creating a business in.
Okay. So say I've got a florist in Whiston and I want to get my website a little bit more kind of, ranking higher than other florists in the city. I'd need SEO.
Yeah. So if you're going, you know, if you're an established, you're going into an established industry, 100%, there'll be people that are already searching for it.
Okay.
There'll already be people that are already ranking for it. If people are already ranking and targeting their website towards these certain keywords, you know, there's a pretty good chance that they're making money from it. Whereas, so what I'd say is, like, we get a lot of inquiries from people who, you know, they don't really know what they're going after. They've just got this business idea, but it's not really, you know, we get a lot of startups come to us and we don't necessarily know whether, if someone types in that keyword, it's going to generate business for them. Whereas if it's a traditional, you know, style business, a brick and mortar store, you know that more people are going to turn up at their doorstep at the top of Google. And same to go with, like, if you're searching for a product as well. If you know you sell white t-shirts and you rank for white t-shirts, it's a good chance that people land on the website, potential buyers of that white t-shirt.
Did Google know when they set up Google, did they know that eventually millions of people all over the world, like yourself, would make money out of something called SEO? Or is this something now that they're thinking, God, we've created industries out of this search engine?
I mean, it'd be hard to know if the actual creators of Google did, because it was probably around the time I was being born.
Thanks for that, Liam.
Yeah. But I think, as I said, it was originally a search engine. A search engine is a way of displaying information. And I think the way it's evolved over the years and how it's evolved as the internet's evolved, I think that it's now become a lot more commercially minded, as you can see when you search certain keywords on Google. Back when it started, I bet you didn't have all them different ads on that page. I think what they would have noticed is a lot of people were starting to use the search engine for, you know, more commercial keywords, and that's the point where they probably start to realize someone is going to start monetizing it. It's the same with anything.
With Facebook and stuff, yeah. I presume it's the same.
Yeah, even like if you look more recently, like AI, ChatGPT, there are now people that are monetizing ChatGPT through selling props to use ChatGPT, and it's, you know, I think with the internet, because it's so accessible, there's such a low barrier to entry, really. There's no real qualifications. It's all about, you know, being able to show people that you've done it previously. I think no matter what happens on the internet, I think it will always be that way, where people will just be trying to find ways to monetize it. In some cases, you know, I know people that use SEO for negative reasons as well, and they exploit other businesses, and that's the way the internet is, because it's an anonymous world.
It's funny, isn't it? Because obviously the likes of Amazon, you look at things like Spotify, like Facebook, just huge parts of our lives now. But when you think about Google, you almost put it at the back of your brain, because it's so much a part of our life that you take it for granted so much. Could the internet survive without Google? In this day and age, could we do it without Google?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, whether it's Google or whether it's another search engine.
Yeah.
I think search engines are always going to be a thing. If you look at ChatGPT, that's essentially a search engine. That's trolling the internet for information. And I mean, right now, I think like the power of the internet pretty much is in the search engine's hands. And I think it'll always be that way, where a lot of what's going on the search engines is it's a question which is in people's heads. So if you look over the past couple of years, like voice search has become more prominent. People thought like a few years ago that, you know, in 2024, everyone would just be searching with Siri. I think that hasn't necessarily been the case, but the concept's still there in the sense where Siri is again searching for information, which is already...
See, I wouldn't have even linked Siri or Alexa to Google, but they are search engines, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I say, hey, Siri, play a song by whoever, then that is, you're literally, it's another form of Google. Is that Google?
So if you're asking a question, and this is the way Siri's just telling
me. Oh, yeah, Siri's to me. Yeah, he's waiting to be asked. Go on, ask Siri a question.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Obviously, with Siri, if you're asking it a question where you just quick answer, it will just be pulling it from an online search engine. Whereas if you're asking it to play a song, it'll obviously just be a command on your phone. But again, if it's Spotify, that's essentially a search engine. It's a way of organizing information on the internet.
It's just, we could talk about the internet and the search engine revolution back, well, God, 30 years ago, whatever it might have been. We could talk about that all day, but this is specifically SEO. So I'm going to ask you now, if you are that florist in Wisdom, for instance, or you're a plumber in St. Helens, or maybe you've got a new bar opening in Liverpool City Centre, what would you say to them if they want to get their website ranking in the first page, say, of Google? What are the top three things that they should be doing right now?
Yeah. Number one thing, I say this to everyone, if you are looking to advertise a specific service, if you're looking to advertise anything locally and you're looking to get people, you know, turn up at your door, pick up the phone, Google My Business is gotta be a priority. It doesn't matter doesn't matter what service you're searching for. If you're searching locally, if you're searching in Liverpool, if you're searching near me, the first thing that will show up will be a Google My Business.
So Google My Business is where you type it in. So for the Guide Liverpool, we've got it. It's a little profile, picture, address, phone number, website, contact details. You can also do reviews on it.
Yeah.
So you can ask your mates to do a review to start you off. I'm sure if you are a florist in Wiston, you'll get them anyway, won't you? Yeah. So that is number one, Google My Business.
Yeah, that it's one of them things where... pretty much overnight, if you start to get good reviews on there, you start to get your customers leaving, you know, photos of when they visited your florist. Mm-hmm. You pretty much can start to rank overnight from it. That's the beautiful thing about it. So any local business, that's got to be the first thing that you do.
Okay. Google My Business is number one. Number two.
Number two is actually identify what it is that people are searching for. So, you know, if you are a florist, in Wiston, you'd assume that it would be, you know, florist in Wiston. So it's making sure that's actually featured on your website. That's the important thing. So
the words florist in Wiston need to be prevalent, need to be really up there. Now, where would you put them on your website? Where would them words be?
So the main areas to begin with, you'd want it in what's called a meta title. So okay. A meta title is basically indicating to Google, you know, this is what the page is about. H1 tag, which is a heading tag. So you'd want it in a heading tag on your page as well. And then you'd again want it featured in the body content. And that's the, you know, there are hundreds of different factors when it comes to ranking it. But if you've got it featured in then different areas, it's, you know, it's a good chance that Google's going to actually start to make your page relevant for that specific keyword. Not necessarily saying it, you know, it'll rank overnight, but they're the main areas which Google looks for.
And we've got to say that little meta description, that is what comes up as the kind of subline, isn't it, when an entry comes up on Google?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Google My Business. We got the keywords featuring, really, really featuring heavily on the website and in the meta. Number three, what would you say? And if you are a florist in Wiston listening, by the way, you're getting so much free advice right now. Number three.
Number three is actually get other people talking about you as well. Okay. So it's all good and well you telling everyone you're the best florist in Wisden, but you actually need that to be backed up. So as I mentioned earlier on Google reviews, you know, if you can start to get, you know, that mentioned on reviews, that'll make a massive difference. Also having other people talking about you as well. So, you know, I'm sure there are, you know, businesses across Liverpool that have massively benefited from the guide, mentioning them on the website and linking back to them. So if there are any relationships that you have with people in and around your industry, other business owners, actually having them linking back to your website, that's, you know, essentially an upvote from, you know, another relevant business. And Google recognises that when they crawl their website, that obviously the florist in Wisden has been mentioned. Not necessarily saying the more links that you have on other people's website, the better, but the more relevance links that you have, that's certainly Google looks at that in a really positive light.
So I've seen the importance of this, and this is something I wouldn't have known until a few years ago. So if you have got a small website and you are a florist, just getting mentioned on another bigger, kind of more trusted website. So say, for instance, you were featured in the Liverpool Echo or in the Guide Liverpool, or I don't know, on another website about floristry maybe in the UK, that's got a big following. That's automatically Google saying, oh, they must be good because they're on the Liverpool Echo or they're on this floristry website. So it's about that, isn't it? It's about giving it some stance, some recognition elsewhere to then boost it up the rankings on Google.
If you've got other websites saying that you're the best as well,
yeah,
if Google crawls that website, they'll be able to see that, they'll be able to read that. That'll play a part of their algorithm.
I'm just noticing now every florist in Wisden is emailing the guide to get a mention. It's fine. We can do that. This is why we love the listicles on the guide, because we get to mention and backlink to so many other websites. So they're your top three tips.
Yeah.
I presume number four is to get in with someone like yourself and get some actual official support. And that business could be a florist. It could be as big as, I don't know, a national transport company. They all need that SEO support, and you can do it. You can pay for that support, can't you?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, as I said, not just ourselves. There are lots of other, you know, good SEO agencies, you know, in and around Liverpool, and obviously we're the best. but yeah, there are lots of other people out there. There are good freelancers that'll be able to help you. I think most marketing people as well. Like, you know, if you know a marketing person, a marketing manager, they'll have an understanding of SEO. It's just obviously when you come to a specialist SEO agency, like the way our company's set up is pretty much everyone who works for us, as I said, it's a team of 14 now. You know, we've got specialists in technical SEO, we've got specialists in content writing, we've got specialists in digital PR and link building. So, you know, pretty much cover everything for you.
And is it affordable? I know the answer to this question, to be fair. That's why I've been staying in for the past 3 months, but I'm only joking. Yeah. Is it affordable in your opinion? I think it is for what we do.
Yeah.
Maybe not for a florist in Wisden.
Yeah, so the way, you know, SEO tends to work is depends how competitive, you know, your industry is. So, you know, we've got clients we work with who just want to rank for steel fabricator Wirral as a keyword, and they mm-hmm. want to stay at the top there. There's, you know, not that much work required in order to do that and maintain that. Whereas then we've got, you know, businesses who are literally trying to take over the world, you know, not just nationally, but internationally as well. You know, when you're obviously a lot more work needed to be done in order to rank for them types of keywords, there's, you know, in some cases, we've got clients where we've got one person just working on it like the whole time. So, I mean, yeah, it's, as I said, I think where Quirky Digital sits is we're probably not the cheapest SEO company in Liverpool. I know there are people that can do it a lot cheaper, but we're specialists in it. We know we can deliver results, and we know we can do it in a, you know, a reasonable amount of time as well.
And I can seriously vouch for that they are brilliant. If you are looking for it, it's taught me and my team so much, and the attention to detail, the work that you and the team put in not just teaching us how to do things but actively doing them yourselves and getting things up and running for us is amazing. So well worth the money in that respect. Let's talk Quirky Digital, because you've made the news lately, Liam Quirk. This is how good and how successful you're becoming. I read a headline earlier. That headline is, I set up my seven-figure business from my parents' box room at the age of 23. The journey, mate. Obviously, we've spoke about your passion when you realised you wanted to get into digital marketing, then SEO. You've seen your uncle flourish in that field, making money from it. So you had that drive. So the next step was, of course, to set up your own business. Let's talk briefly about that setup period.
Yeah, no worries. Really appreciate what you just said as well. Obviously, as I said, I was always entrepreneurially minded. Even from a young age, it was always trying to make things better than, you know, how I found them. And as I said, when I started to build my own website, I started to actually, you know, generate income from selling these leads and renting these websites out to people. And I knew from that point, I knew I could make money from it myself. I just didn't feel like I was experienced enough as a business person. As I said, 17, 18 years old, I couldn't really hold a conversation with a business person. I could speak to my co-workers, I could speak to my boss about what my goals and my ambitions were, but I didn't really know how to speak to someone in commercial terms. So I knew at that age I wanted to do it, I just knew I wasn't ready for it. But I knew over the next couple of years, because I was working within small agencies, I knew that I could just be a sponge and I could learn from my bosses, I could learn from my seniors. I started to be put into uncomfortable situations as well. So I remember, you know, I said to my boss at the time, you know, when can I start selling stuff? Because I just wanted to get a bit of experience in it. Literally the next day, he had a sales appointment for me and threw me right in a deep end. And I think
Is the best way. Yeah. I've always thought that the best thing you can do to learn in anything, in your job, in life, in business, is to face them challenges head on and kind of cack yourself a little bit and really be worried about the situation. Yeah. It's the only way you do learn, isn't it? And sometimes it's great to make a mistake in that situation because you kind of double learning then, aren't you?
Yeah, that was it. And I remember the first sales appointments he put me in, I closed them. And I thought, I want to do more of this.
Get the buzz.
Yeah, and I got the buzz for it and I started to know how to speak. As I said, I was good at speaking about SEO, but it was to 99.9% of the population, they wouldn't have a clue what I was talking about, but I started to get very good at explaining it in, you know, simple terms and what I could do for people's businesses. So as that started to happen and I started to see that, you know, I could speak to people in commercial terms, that's when the fire really started inside me. And then I moved to another agency where I started to work with slightly bigger businesses as well. And I realised I could do a really good job for them. And at that point, that's when I knew that, you know, I could give this a good go myself.
You talk about that fire there. That's a massive driver, isn't it, with loads of things. And if there's anyone listening now who hasn't felt that fire yet, it will come. When you know you can do something, you think maybe, can I do that, can't I do it? But it happens. You're just so ambitious then to do it again because it's like going to the gym, isn't it? You've got that feeling of, I don't know, that burn that you want to feel again in your body. It's a bit addictive, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's what gives you the kind of the drive to do it on a more professional basis.
It happens to this day. There are certain things where, you know, if you asked me a year ago if I'd be able to do it, if I'd be able to hold my own in certain situations, you know, I still get that same feeling about it. I'm thinking I can take over the world. and that's it. It's that. And I constantly get that. And, you know, as you move up the levels, and it would constantly happen. It would happen when I was working at other people's companies. I would, I'd always think I'm probably not at that level yet. And then I'd be thrown in the deep end to do it. And I'd do it. And I'd think, well, I want to do that again, or I want to do this next. And it was constantly, setting goals and then exceeding them. And then that was at the point where when that kept happening, I was like, you know, I need to do this for myself because there was a limit on my potential.
What you could do.
Yeah.
So you've set up Quirky Digital. You've taken the name from your surname, which is great. It's got a great ring to it. The name of your business. You've since won a plethora of awards. You're now turning over £1.2 million. Just briefly tell us how it happened. And does it feel, looking back 4 years later, that it happened really fast or it's been really challenging? Just tell us how that kind of business grew.
Yeah, so I decided that I wanted to start the business just before COVID, and it was obviously a crazy time to do it. Obviously, handed the notice in just before Boris announced the lockdown, and it was a very tough, you know, first few months. Businesses didn't want to spend any money on marketing, and they didn't really know when they could open the doors again. And what I found was there was a few months into that, there was a big boom, and I think I'd had a few months of not really doing too well, but I could focus on the internal operations within my business and making sure they were all set up correctly. As that boom happened and people started to get the bounce back loans, they wanted to start spending some of that money on marketing to get online customers. I think I was perfectly placed in the sense where, you know, I was just starting up. I was probably charging 10% of what I charge now for the services. And I managed to, you know, sign quite a lot of clients up. You know, I was working day and night.
So this is just you on your own?
Just me.
Yeah.
And I was working day and night to get all this work done, make sure that, you know, we were delivering the best possible service. And because of that, it really flourished in a sense where the people I was working with, like, couldn't speak highly enough of me. So they were posting it on social media. They were telling their suppliers. They were telling their clients about me. And it really grew organically, in fairness. And then I found a niche on LinkedIn where, particularly locally, and to be honest, still to this day, there isn't rich, so nobody do it. Still to this day, you know, there's not really anyone locally who's posting case studies as opposed, you know, what digital marketing, what SEO's doing for their clients. And I did that alongside, you know, all the referrals that I was getting. It snowballed.
Mm.
It constantly snowballed. And I remember I got to a point where I was in Cyprus at the time doing a bit of digital nomading, and I was trying to find myself. I was thinking, what am I going to do? Like, am I going to actually start the business? Am I going to grow it? Or, you know, do I stay by myself as a consultant? And I remember just being, well, I was in Cyprus, and I thought, I want to do more of this. And in order to do more of this, I need people working for me.
So you wanted to do some more, as you call it, digital nomading, which I've never heard, but I love. But I know that you are a digital nomad, because every time I speak to you, you're in a different country. But it's really important, and I love to see that, because one, we can do that. We can work anywhere in the world if we've got, one, a decent Wi-Fi connection and a decent laptop, and two, a decent team at home as well. So that's what you've done, and that's a massive part of your life, of your career, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's it. I think that change, and, you know, that probably conversation I had with myself, you know, probably changed the rest of my life, because it was starting to think that, and I know you're the same. If you look at the team you've got here, I know you rely heavily on them, mm-hmm. and, you know, they do really good stuff for you. And I think that I've when I started off, I thought no one could do better than me. That's what I thought. And then as time's gone on, I've had to kind of relinquish control of certain things. And a lot of business owners, I feel, do just constantly think they can do it for themselves. They want to save money. They want to try and do it themselves. But you massively limit the way you can strategically think about your business and the way you can actually grow it. And I think when I made that decision, you know, it was literally as soon as I got home, I was on the phone to somebody saying, look, I want to take on an apprentice. And, you know, as soon as I took him on, Ben, I don't think you've met him before, it was like, right, I need another one. You know, I need more people around me that can do the stuff that, you know, doesn't allow me to market the business as effectively, you know, as it can be.
But don't forget, every team member you bring in, you're adding value to your business then, aren't you? You're adding knowledge, you're adding power, you're adding time, you're adding obviously more hands on deck, which adds to that time, skills which you might not have. And my team every single day at the Guide teach me something new every day, and that could be how to turn the laptop on when it's not coming on, to something really clever with a video or something that we're making. It's so important, isn't it? And it's so important to pass that work on. But with every team member, more importantly, brings hopefully more money for the business to keep growing. And that's what you've done.
Yeah, that's it. As I said, I think that's been the most important thing for me. I see a lot of people that are in a similar position to what I was in when I first started, and they thought, no, I'm the best, I can do it for myself. And you soon learn as you get other people around you that you're not. And, you know, I've brought in people recently into the business that have changed the way I think about SEO, which if you'd have said that to me when I started the business, I'd think, now, you know, I'm the SEO guy. Now I'm not. Do you know what I mean? And it's a nice position to be in. And I think any business you're in, whether it's SEO, whether it's accountancy, whether you run a florist, you know, if you're serious about growing it, you can't do it yourself. You need to find people that, you know, allow you to have that headspace to strategically think about the business and bring in better ideas than what you've already got.
It's hard, isn't it, to do it at first. And I sometimes love getting like hands-on with ground level stuff. Sometimes I'll jump on the socials at the guy that's running the socials of a weekend, or because they're the little bits that you love and they're the little bits that you miss. And sometimes it's easy to really keep hold of certain things and not let go, but you've really got to have, and you've got to make it a thing and let go of the tasks you want to do and the things you want to do to help and support that you think might be really useful. Sometimes they're not. You've got to give up a bit so you can focus on growth and on, I don't know, maybe the bigger clients that are coming in that need looking after, or whether it is an expansion plan or something that you've got. It's critical, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think, as I said, so many people just think they can do everything themselves, and the reality is you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. So you had an apprentice, you got another apprentice.
Yeah.
What happened next? 14 members of staff now, 50 clients all over the world.
Yeah.
Has it just been like dominoes? Because it's quite a short period of time, 4 years.
Yeah.
Since when you started. So I presume it's moved really fast.
It really has. As you said, I think it has been a domino effect where, you know, I've always put my emphasis on, you know, building close relationships with clients. And that's been, you know, that's probably something I've got rid of, that side of things in comparison to what it was. But to begin with, it was literally personal relationships with everyone, deliver really good, you know, results for them. And I would be cheeky and ask them for referrals. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't ask for things that they really want. And I'm the type of person where, you know it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If I want something, I feel like someone can help me, and, you know, I've done a good job for them, I will ask them to do it. And that's the way it snowballs. And as I said, it's weird the way it happens. So particularly locally, we've got a lot of clients, but, you know, I've had, you know, a client here who I've done a really good job for, who then introduced me to someone in London and done a really good job for them. And now, you know, I'm working with 5 or 6 businesses in London because of the good job I've done for him. And that's the way, you know, I feel as if service-based businesses work. If you do a good job for someone, you know, in some cases I've gone above and beyond what we originally quoted them to do. They do shout about you. And when people are shouting about you, and you've got that reputation, it really snowballs.
It's interesting, we're talking about SEO and about that recognition on Google and on search engines and stuff. But if you haven't got the kind of good reputation from being a good person, from being hardworking and from actually delivering on what your clients are asking you for, then there's no point in having good SEO, is there? Because at the end of the day, no matter what, it's about what you can do day to day. And how you treat people, I suppose, is a big thing, which I know is a massive thing with you and the team.
Yeah.
How you treat your team is a big thing. So you can have all the SEO in the world, but at the end of the day, you've got to do the job, haven't you?
Yeah, that's it. And I think that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, how you're advertising your business, if whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, Google marketing, whether you're just sending flyers to people. What people do is they might receive the flyer and they'll think, I'm going to Google that. And see what people are saying about them, and they'll go on the Google reviews. And that's the one thing that, you know, I've put a big emphasis on, is, you know, making sure that when someone's thanked us for doing something, it's like, can you leave us a review?
A review.
And the reviews that we've had off our clients, like, you know, I had one of the first ones, best ones I got was like, you know, Liam's a surprisingly knowledgeable person. And these types of reviews where people do, you know, go really, really in depth, and you know, getting people to leave reviews which actually sound real, you know, they actually tell the story of what we've done for them. I think, you know, the type of service that we provide, where, you know, a lot of it is smoke and mirrors to people, it's just the result that you get at the end, which is valuable. if you've got people, you know, talking about exactly what you did for them, you know, some people even have their own mini case studies in the reviews, that makes them, it's made a massive difference for us.
So that's, you know, another big thing. I know you mentioned that before in the top things to do to get that trust on Google and stuff. Reviews is a biggie. Part of my Google My Business, that side of it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's it. You've got Google My Business. If you sell products online, obviously you've got, you know, you've got your Trustpilot,
TripAdvisor, if you are hospitality tourism. Yeah. So they are really important, really vital. Biggest challenges that you face or that you faced with your business, just day-to-day stuff maybe, or what are the biggest things that you've kind of overcome in your 4 years so far?
To be honest, I think to begin with, that there was a period of the time, it's probably 18 months, two years into the business where I started being quite relentless with marketing. So I started probably spending money on stuff that I shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And me being a digital marketing person, it was stupid of me, but I just thought I wanted to grow as quickly as possible. I stopped actually measuring what was working for us. And I was doing lots of different marketing. It was taking up a lot of my time. It was making me incredibly stressed because I was spending a lot of time doing stuff. I was spending a lot of money. I actually started off some cash flow issues because I was spending money on things I wasn't actually measuring. And as I said, there was a moment I remember where I thought to myself, like, I think I had, it's quite a, like, an exact story, but I remember it. Like, I basically needed to find, because of what I was doing, I think I needed to find like $6,000 within, you know, a day to actually be able to pay everybody's wages. This was about 2 years ago, and I remember just thinking, how am I going to do this? And I was like, you know, this was because I was being relentless. I was probably being a little bit stupid with spending money. And I remember just that exact moment, and I looked at the bank and just thought, how am I going to do this? But I didn't actually feel stressed about it. And I thought, I'll be able to work it out. But that was like a moment where I thought, like, it would have been very easy to turn back and just, you know, give up.
But carried on.
Yeah, and I just carried on the thought, so I'll be able to deal with it.
But doesn't it teach you a lesson as well, though? And we've all done this as business owners, where you get a bit of money, you do well, you think, yeah, I'll buy some digital advertising on big screens around the city centre. I will buy tickets to something to entertain some clients that cost a fortune. You need to be careful, don't you, when you get the money in, but you don't need to buy them big things until you really need those big things. And a lot of the times we think we need the stuff that we don't necessarily have to spend money on.
That's the lesson. It is, like, because I'm in quite a cash flow rich business where people are paying us on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
You know, people are on 6 month, 12 month contracts. You can pretty much start to project what what you're going to be earning in 6 months' time. And, you know, there was a point where I was very naive and I didn't really think about, you know, I had a lot of people that owed me money and I didn't really think about that because it had never really been an issue before. And, you know, that time where I thought, like, you know, to be honest, that I thought, like, how have I got myself in this situation? That's taught me so many, like, lessons, like, to actually start to be a lot more careful with what we're spending money on, what we're agreeing to, what we're not agreeing to, all that type of stuff. And now, you know, I've got some, I realised pretty quickly the finance wasn't my strong point, and I managed to get the right people around me. I've got a really good accountant in. I've got, you know, non-executive director who's, you know, she's just on another level in terms of finances, operations, that type of stuff. So it's, you know, being in that situation just made me realise that, you know, again, it goes back to, you know, having the right people around you, making sure that you don't make them mistakes again.
It's interesting because that goes to your team, as you say. You know, you need them people to give you them things to tell you as well.
Yeah.
Why are you spending the money on that? Where's that gone? Why are you doing that? And it's so many other business owners must make those same mistakes. I make them every single day. Yeah. What advice would you give to other business owners or startups or anyone thinking about not just SEO but just business in general?
I mean going back to what we've talked about a couple of times before, it's, you know, it's getting the right people around you. As you said, I'm very, you know, I feel as if I've got, you know, a good you know, I've got good people that work within the business. I've got good people around me that I feel like, you know, I'm very open when it comes to actually talking about my problems. I'll post about it on LinkedIn. I'll talk openly with people about it. So when you actually talk about the problems that you have within your business, chances are there's, you know, somebody else has already, been through that before. And, you know, I, a few years ago, was the person that I thought, you know, as I said, I could deal with anything myself. And I soon realised that sometimes you just get problems off your chest to someone that don't be able to help you out.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Listen, you've demonstrated just in this podcast, one, how amazingly kind of passionate you are about what you do. Two, that you've got a massive, massive future ahead of you. I don't even know where to start with that. You've obviously got plans in place to grow. I'm presuming not just location wise, but maybe into other things. Where would you like to see Quirky Digital in 10, 15 years time?
I haven't thought that far ahead yet, but, you know, certainly over the next 12 months, we want to be international. So yeah. as you rightly pointed out, I do like to travel a lot during my times on my travels. I've managed to pick up international clients. And there are certain parts around the world where there are certain parts of the world where they might not actually, you know, do business in the UK, but they want to deal with businesses in the UK because they like the way we do business.
We do things.
And, you know, I mean, Cyprus is a good example. I spend quite a lot of time in Cyprus. I mentioned it earlier. There are lots of Brits that are out there that are running businesses that like the way we do things. And we picked up a few clients over there. There are certain, you know, parts of the world where, you know, we've already started to make moves to have a location over there. If you go on Google and type in SEO Cyprus or SEO Dubai, we're going to be on the first page somewhere. And that's obviously, you know, they're the next steps of, you know,
SEO
our expansion.
Dubai. Let's have a little look. And there they are. Quirky Digital.
Yeah.
So the world is literally your oyster, Liam Quirk. Just 27 years old now?
26.
I'm looking older today. And as mentioned, turnover 1.2 million and so much more to come. Liam, thank you so much for chatting to us. And listen back to this if you want to show or share some advice on just SEO or how to nail it in Merseyside, then listen back to this episode. Liam Quirk from Quirky Digital. Thank you, mate.
Cheers, Jay. Nice one.